Back again with John MacArthur in the Grace to You audio blog. If you haven't heard, there's a discussion underway at gty.org. When John is done, get the info on how to get involved.
Now, as we look at Ephesians chapter 5 and consider these instructions, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, we find there are some supporting passages to these, and we want to look at them for a moment. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands." And again, you have the very same issue. What is quite interesting is that little phrase, "in the same way." Go back to verse 13. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right." In other words, all of us submit to the authority of government. Verse 18, "Servants, submit to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable." Now, keep this in mind. We all submit to the government, to the king, to the authorities, to the governors. Verse 15, "This is the will of God. We are to fear God and honor the king," verse 17 says. Doesn't tell us what form of government, what kind of government, what the moral standards of that government happen to be. It says we are to submit. And then in verse 18, "The same kind of submission to your employer, whether he is good and gentle or absolutely unreasonable. This finds favor with God if, for the sake of conscience toward God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering justly." One of the reasons I don't believe in a strike. No matter how difficult your employer might be, you bear up. That finds favor with God. When you suffer unjustly, you are increasing your eternal reward. And then the most marvelous illustration is the Lord Jesus himself. Verse 21, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." He shows us how to suffer unjustly. He shows us how to bear the burdening yoke of unfair leadership. "He suffered, committed no sin," verse 22, "was no deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he didn't revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And in the process, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, you were healed." In other words, Christ suffered undeserved punishment. He suffered it without retaliation, without reviling back. He uttered no threats. He just turned himself over to God, took his suffering, and in the end, it had a profoundly significant result. It redeemed souls out of the human race. And then you come to chapter 3, verse 1. Remember, there are no chapter breaks in the original text. "In the same way, you wives." What do you mean, the same way? As someone under the authority of government? As an employee under the authority of an employer? Whether the government is good, bad, or indifferent, whether the employer is good and gentle or abusive and unreasonable, in the same manner that Jesus suffered unjustly and did nothing but commit himself to God for God to bring out of that unjust suffering a glorious end, you, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. The implication here is that it really doesn't matter what kind of husband he is. You say, "Well, I have a husband who's disobedient to the things of God, who's indifferent to Jesus Christ, who is not kind and loving, is not good and gentle." All the more reason, Peter says, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." Line up under them. All the more reason if they are not saved, if they do not obey the word of God. Some are unsaved implied there, but it could also imply a person who had made a profession of faith in Christ and was not obedient to the scripture. All the more reason to be submissive. And again, I remind you, as is fitting, and fitting has its limits, you're not to be submissive if he commands you to do directly that which opposes the word of God or commands you not to do that which the word of God does command you to do. But apart from those things for which you are under the command of God, you must submit to your husband. Hupotasso, again, line up under him. And the key in verses 2 and 3, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, that's what you want them to see. You want them to see your virtue, your purity. And then in verse 3, and let not your adornment be merely external, only external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. You have a husband who is a trial to you, either because he's unsaved or he's a disobedient believer. He fails to fulfill all of your hopes and expectations for what you would want as a husband. He comes short of what you hoped for and maybe what you thought he was, and you are gravely disappointed. You chafe under his authoritarianism. He cares little for how you feel, it seems. All the more reason to be submissive. All the more reason to demonstrate to him a meekness, a purity, a respectful kind of behavior. All the more reason not only to adorn the outside, and please do that. We all appreciate it. But do more than that. More than putting on a pretty dress or wearing gold jewelry or doing your hair. Adorn your heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And I might say every man's dream. It doesn't mean you have to kill your personality. It doesn't mean you have to become a robot. It doesn't mean you have to become boring. It doesn't mean you never give your opinion. But there needs to be deep down in your heart gentleness, quietness. That hidden part is precious in the sight of God. God prefers a woman like that. Like 1 Timothy 2 says, silent, learning in subjection. This is of great price. Verse 5, for in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. This has always been the standard, folks. This isn't new. This isn't some Pauline Petrine bias or chauvinism. This isn't something they just came up with. It's always been this way. God has always desired that women have a meek and quiet spirit. God has always desired that they adorn the hidden person of the heart with those imperishable qualities. He has always desired that they are submissive to their own husbands. And again, that same phrase, their own husbands. Not to all men. Women collectively are not under the control of all men. A wife is under the control of her husband. And verse 6 gives us an illustration. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham. May I suggest to you here that the concept of submission comes eventually to the point of obeying? She called him Lord. There's a thought. Yes, my Lord. No, something wrong with that. It just doesn't sound modern, does it? She called him Lord. She obeyed him. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And that's what comes up. You know, when you do counseling, inevitably, when you're talking to a woman about how she should respond to the leadership of her husband, whatever kind of leadership it is, she says, well, you don't understand. It's very difficult. And sometimes I'm afraid of where he's going to lead me. I'm afraid of where he's going to take me. And that is precisely why this verse says, just obey, call him Lord, do what is right, and don't be frightened by any fear. Because you have put yourself in the place of the blessing and protection of God. As Abraham was the father of the faithful, Sarah is the mother of the submissive. She's the prototype. Abraham is the prototype of faith. She's the prototype of submission. No terror. The word is literally terror at the end of verse 6. Great peace, great security. It's a tremendous passage. Tremendous passage. And it cannot be argued against. It is too clear and too direct. Now, some of you women are just taking all this in and saying, hey, what about equal time? That'll come. That'll come. You just wait till we get to those guys. You think you're squirming. You haven't seen anything yet.
Now we want to hear from you. Here's the address, gty.org/audioblog. That's gty.org/audioblog.